You are now listening to the Friends of Rugby podcast. Relax your anus. Balls. Thick thighs. Camille Schacht. Where's his neck? Eddie Jones. You're fucked, mate. We're nice now.
All right, we're recording.
Uh-oh. What a weekend.
That's how I feel.
We suck at predicting, eh?
I learned a few things this weekend.
I don't think I learned anything.
I learned that, yes, we do suck at predicting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, I learned that.
Yeah.
I learned that I'm bad at something.
I also learned what it feels like to be a Welsh fan.
Oh. Yeah, you were having some emotions, eh?
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went through it took me a little bit to calm down.
Yeah.
After that Ireland-England game, I was choked.
As a neutral, best game of the weekend, though.
It was a great game.
And Italy beating Scotland is usually a big deal. And Ireland-England was just a good game to watch. Like, yeah. Nail-biting, wasn't it? Proper nail-biter.
Totally not what I predicted at all that happened.
Nope.
I think the whole world was shocked.
Yeah.
Which... for rugby in itself, is a great thing.
Yeah, opened up the tournament, and it doesn't feel like it's just a dialed in second Grand Slam. So I was happy about that, actually.
Yeah, I wasn't.
No, fair enough.
I wanted the fairy tale. I wanted the story. I was like, oh, it's such a fairy
you
tale.
You had a fairy tale last year. No, actually, no,
it got ended in disaster.
Never mind. It did. Yeah. Never mind. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so, it would be nice if Ireland sort of had a perfect year, though, wouldn't it? Because it feels like they've earned a perfect year. I felt like that year when they won in New Zealand was like, okay, this is a good year for Ireland.
Yes.
They're still having it mostly their own way. It did feel like, I felt like the same in the France game. It was like, fuck's sake, England, you chose today to show up. Like, you chose today of all days, the day of my daughter's wedding to spoil the fucking party. Like,
they did. They bring it all together.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that. But yeah. That's what I learned this weekend.
Mm.
Yeah, this is how you feel?
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Oh, it's horrible, isn't it?
It is. It doesn't feel good.
And we've won 4 Grand Slams in the last 10 years, and it's still pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not like it. I'm so used to winning.
I noticed that yesterday. I was looking at you almost proud. I was like, he knows now. Because you were seriously into Ireland winning.
Proud.
And like, you were like losing your mind. You were incoherent. I was like, he gets it. He finally gets it.
Melting as a human being.
Yeah. You've earned your Six Nations fandom award.
Like, all my dignity, everything I have is just like fucking leaving my body.
You were in full kit as well. You had fucking Ireland jersey, Ireland shorts, came down full kit wankering all over the place.
Except I don't have my Ireland socks.
My okay,
garage got broken into, and the only thing they stole was those fucking socks. They stole a kit bag that I had, and it just had those fucking socks in it.
Oh, fuck.
So I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
I was like, that's not my Ireland.
It could have been a true full kit wanker
yesterday.
Yeah,
it wasn't a full kit wanker.
Oh, okay, next week.
I actually can't wear those shorts. They're too tight. I had to take them off, remember?
Yeah. You do have some thick thighs, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're rocking them to an extent.
But
it's just not comfortable.
That waistband was just too tight.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
I put some weight on since I bought those.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's weird. I lost 10 pounds when I was in France.
Yeah.
And all I was doing was eating croissants and cheese and drinking wine.
Because you got to walk
smoking
everywhere.
Smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, smoking cigarettes will help.
And I'm just like lost all this weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that Canadian, North American food.
It's very sugar dense.
Every time I see someone from like Europe or something, or someone from anywhere else, and they come here, within like the first year, they've put on like 20 pounds.
I put a lot of weight on when I moved here.
Yeah.
But that's because I was driving ever instead of walking. And there's a lot of sugar in food here.
Yeah.
The bread is sugary.
Everything has sugar.
It's mental.
If you could put sugar on it, they put sugar on it.
And I like sugar, so I'm not going to say no.
Everyone loves sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into it, but yeah, put on some weight. Anyway.
Rugby.
Here's the schedule. It's March 10th.
Oh.
What a day.
What a day. Is it a sad day for you?
Yeah. I'm a bit sick of trying to be optimistic. I just want to win now.
Are you going to burn Gatlin in this?
No, I still have Gatlin. I was just saying...
Still gaslit.
Yeah.
Still got Stockholm Syndrome.
Still got Stockholm Syndrome. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I think that dented his large bank account of cash in the bank with us, though. That
Did
definitely
it?
Took out a big loan from it, yeah. Not that we
he's
should expect that win.
Still got a lot of
win.
Cash in that.
He's still got a big savings account with
Wales.
Yeah, he's got a gate named after him, yeah.
Before we get into Six Nations.
Okay.
I want to talk about Super Rugby again.
Yeah.
Because these games are that's a surprising outcomes. I didn't watch any of the games. I just watched the highlights because they're on at like 3 in the morning
too.
I've
just been watching highlights.
They're on at like ridiculous times. But again, like some surprising results.
Yeah.
Something's going on here.
Australian win over... You talk.
Yeah, I'll just take you over this. Like, yeah. Like the Taws and Highlanders, like they went toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
Again. And I was like, I was expecting Highlanders to win this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm glad they won this.
Yeah.
But there was also some like a lot of complaining about the reffing in this game too.
Yeah, there was.
Talk about that in a second.
There's a storm brewing with the rules in New Zealand and Australia, isn't there?
Yeah, we'll go back to that. I just want to talk about some of these results too.
Man, we're so excited, eh? We've got so much to talk about.
Yeah.
All right, you go.
Yeah, the Fijian Drua.
Yeah.
20-10 on the Crusaders. Something's going on in the Crusaders.
Are the Crusaders crumbling or is this just whole competition more competitive now? Because that's actually the second loss. Third loss
on the bounce. Yes.
That's got to be a big...
Three losses in a row.
I was looking at the number of Super Rugby trophies the Crusaders had. I didn't even realize how... I knew they were dominant, but that's like New England Patriots legacy territory, isn't it? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's serious.
They got to be one of the most successful rugby clubs in the world.
Might even be one of the best successful sporting teams in the world. I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, it's up there. Yeah. Definitely up there.
Yeah. So that's a big loss and a big win for the Drua.
I'm pretty sure that like, I think the majority of Fijian Drua's like wins over New Zealand teams are beating the Crusaders.
Really?
I think they've beaten the Crusaders three times.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that most of their Super Rugby wins from Kiwi teams is from the Crusaders.
Are they the Scotland of Super Rugby? They show up for one team that they hate as soon as they disappear.
As soon as they play the Crusaders, they just show up.
Yeah.
So, that's another one.
Yeah.
The Force can't win a game.
Yeah.
And...
But Reds Chiefs is a big one.
But I think the Hurricanes are the only undefeated team in the Super Rugby.
Yeah.
I have to look at the standings, but yeah, so they're...
Yeah, they beat the Blues.
Yeah, and that was an exciting game too. And then the other thing here that I was completely surprised about was the Reds beat the Chiefs.
I was just looking at that.
Yeah. Now, I don't know. This was... it's the Melbourne Reds, right? It was in Melbourne.
No, that Melbourne Rebels is the Queensland Reds.
Queensland Reds?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Melbourne Rebels.
That's right. Yeah. And the Rebels are the one who are under threat, right?
Yeah.
The Reds are historically decent, but like, I mean historically, like a while ago.
Yeah. So, this wasn't Queensland. So, I'm wondering like if the Chiefs sent an A team. But it's like, there's only like so many rounds.
Yeah,
so
it's not a long competition. They think every game's important.
Yeah. So, but this outcome was really surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has been keeping my eye on this tournament.
This might be the first year since South Africa left Super Rugby that I care about Super Rugby. Not least because Rhys Patchell is doing well at the Highlanders.
Yeah.
And obviously I have an interest in that. Mm-hmm. But also because I would say about 50% of it is these unexpected results. And I know that a lot of All Blacks are either in in Japan or retired. So there's some rebuildy, reshuffly things going on. But I'm happy that Australia are doing well. And I'm definitely happy that the Drua and Pacifica are... I know Pacifica lost against the Rebels, but like they're competitive is awesome. Like this competition feels alive again since South Africa left, which is good, right?
It's really good.
Yeah.
Like if you're a Super Rugby fan, it's something to be excited about.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. I'd be happy as a Kiwi to take a couple losses to ensure a healthy competition, you know?
I just really hope it... it piles over, like it falls over into when they play the rugby championship. Because
we need a good Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way that they're playing and stuff, that like, I don't know, maybe they got a new, like.
New lease of life with Joe
Schmidt. Yeah, a new lease of life with Joe Schmidt. They're like, oh, we feel good. Like,
yeah.
I really hope that, that spills over.
Me too.
Because we need that. Like the Lions need that.
The Lions need it badly. World I don't Rugby want a shitty Lions it. Tour. Yeah.
We need that good team.
Yeah. I didn't think we'd be saying this a few months ago.
New Zealand needs it. They need
a good Australia.
They need a good Australia team because they need it. Another thing about that was in the headlines a lot about Super Rugby is the reffing though.
Yes.
Like they're just like straight up.
Ignoring blatant
Like head ignoring.
Knocks.
Yeah. It's like, doesn't exist. So like,
it's not a good look, is it?
And a lot of people complain. They're just ignoring penalties, like straight up penalties, like trying to get the game to go,
yeah,
like to flow better.
Yeah.
But that's going to hurt them.
Yeah, when they come to international games,
yeah,
and the standard of reffing is, I don't want to say better. No, better.
Yeah, definitely better. Yeah.
Because if you're missing penalties, yeah.
Because you're like ignoring shit for the excitement of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they go and play test rugby, they're going to be going in there playing recklessly, and it's just going to hurt them.
It's dangerous.
Yeah. Because especially the All Blacks, biggest foe, like their biggest Achilles heel is themselves.
Yeah.
Because they have all the talent. They got the scrum, the line, everything's great, if not better than everyone else, right?
Yeah.
So if they're going to start beating themselves, I don't know. It's not a, because they're going to get into bad, the players are in bad habits. So we've already seen it for the last couple of years.
I agree with you, but I am also careful because we've said this kind of thing before. We said, oh, the defense in Super Rugby is not good. And then New Zealand play internationally and their defense is rock solid. And you're like, well, how did that happen? But
we're also seeing them lose more now.
We are.
Okay, more occasionally. And I think it doesn't have to do with their talent, how good they are. A lot of it is their discipline and decision making on the field.
And I don't want to take away from teams like France and Ireland just improving a lot as well, being consistent and good.
No, because they're going to take it. No, because their discipline's better.
It is.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're taking advantage of that.
Yeah.
Right. Like if New Zealand like to make it hard on themselves for some reason.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
those Ireland are better now. So if you're going to give them opportunity to get in the game, teams like Ireland will take it.
And they're clinical as well, aren't
and they? They're clinical now.
They love
it. So you can't be as laxed as you used to be.
Mm.
So, and if they're going to play in a league, if they're all their rugby they've been playing all year is from a league where guys are like, can basically do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of those like troubled teens that has to go into like one of those like youth center things. And all of a sudden you're like, have to follow all these fucking rules.
They've got to go to tackle school, the whole team.
Yes.
Tackle school high.
Yeah. Did you see Wildcard's thing on the Waratahs Islanders game?
I watched his video where he was talking about John Kerwin and slagging him off about the scrums, which that guy's energetic. And I agreed with him, actually, though, on a lot of stuff. So I didn't see his thing about the Waratahs. No, I watched it a bit with you. You showed me a couple minutes of it, didn't you?
Yeah.
But tell me about it.
He just goes off on how much of a shit show the reffing in Super Rugby is.
And do you know what? I was thinking, this sounds conspiratorial, but then he showed a clip and it was like, oh, that's really blatant.
Oh, yeah. He always kind of backs up what he says. He always has something on the side of the screen when he's doing something, what he's talking about. He's not just talking out of his ass.
No, he's not, is he?
Yeah.
But I think that he gives off the impression he's talking out of his because he's yelling excitedly and swearing. And you're like, this guy's unhinged. But you go, oh, no, he's true. He's right. there's footage of
it. That's part of his character.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's his selling point, isn't it? But he was right, though.
Like, I got a good story about this guy.
Okay.
About Wildcard Rugby.
Yeah, okay.
So he made that post. He put it on a short of that video.
Yeah.
And I shared that short on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then at midnight, on Friday night at midnight, I get this message.
Yeah.
This private message from another content creator.
Okay.
Telling him, he's like, hey. I was like, I just want you to let you know. You know that Wildcard guy?
Yeah.
He's an industry plant.
What? You caught me off guard then. Like, which industry?
I get this message. I'm like, well, he's like, yeah. He just comes out of nowhere and like he's all over, like he's like on like network TV and stuff. And
no, what?
And I was like, well, I'm like,
who has planted him?
I'm like, yeah, he's like, so I get this
big Australian rugby. It's like the deep state Australian rugby.
Like, it's just such a random message. I was like, what do you mean? Like, you think he's an industry plant?
Yeah,
I was like, what's your proof? And he's like, he has an IMDb. Like,
what? Conclusive proof.
Yeah. So I'm like,
who is this person who messaged you?
I don't want to name names, but
fair enough. You said it was someone who makes, are we in YouTube drama now? This is exciting.
Yeah. And I told you this, you're gonna love this story. That's why, mate, I didn't want to tell you.
Yeah, fair enough. That got a good laugh out of me.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of like, he tells me like, yeah, he's got an internet movie database like profile.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, so you brought,
so that, he's an actor, like a film actor?
Yeah. And he was like, he was in Drunk History on YouTube, an episode of that.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, so like, how does he just come out of nowhere and just get all these followers and stuff? I'm like, well, I'm trying to think here. I'm like,
I could tell you a reason.
I was like, well, he had a few of his videos gone viral.
Yeah, do you know
for
why?
How energetic he is in his videos, right?
That's a polite way of putting it.
And they're so out there and so different from everything else. Of course, like networks and like other people are going to like want to talk to this guy because he's making these like super extravagant, like.
He comes across as a nutter.
Yeah.
You know? So and it's like, of course he does. I mean, okay. And in his defense, I remember in the World Cup when Australia had a really shit World Cup and he was passionate about it, right? Rightfully so. And I think he kind of embodied the feeling of Australian rugby fans. It wasn't just like, fuck's sake. It was like a screaming, for fuck's sake, like our rugby is over, you know? So yeah. I felt, you know, I was like, he kind of captured a moment of Australian rugby energy, didn't he?
Yeah, he does. He, you know, what everyone's thinking, he just put it out in real life.
Yeah.
I just couldn't believe I got this message.
Oh,
like,
that's funny.
This guy was sold on this. He's like, he's filming in a studio.
Yeah.
And I was like, what in the rugby?
In the studio. It looks like in his bedroom.
Yeah, like what in the rugby QAnon is this shit? Like what? Like
the deep state, man.
Yeah, this is like straight up rugby QAnon stuff. And I was like, what? I was like didn't think like, okay, maybe because of how his videos are made and how he makes his videos that wouldn't gain attention and how like some of his videos have gone viral. He's got like a few hundred thousand views on some of his videos.
But if you look at his he's not like exactly, even in the YouTube rugby creator, he's not even a big deal there yet.
No, he averages, like, I looked into it too. He averages like about 1,000 to 2,000 views.
Yeah, it's kind of normal.
A video.
Not too big. There's definitely much bigger rugby creators out there, aren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just the strangest. I was not expecting that at all.
Okay.
But wildcard.
If he's a plant, right?
Like he's an industry plant.
If I'm gonna plant an industry plant to make accusations against referees, you're not gonna choose him, are you?
Or just like an industry plant to like make a fake like
when Razzie did that.
Yeah.
Because that was obviously like a plant, wasn't it?
It's just
like
a bad plant.
Yeah, it was just like,
you're doing a bad job.
If you spend a lot of money on this, this is a disaster.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
The studio looks shit. It's his bedroom.
They're trying to make it look real. Like he's one of us.
He's one of the working men. Really?
And then what's their motive? Like what is he trying? What is the industry trying to direct us?
If that's a conspiracy I was going to buy into, at least the motive is clear. Is to discredit New Zealand refereeing. You know,
maybe
or
he's a league plant too. it's actually he's a rugby league comes out we're wrong, and that guy was right the whole time.
yeah.
So that was like a pretty funny thing that I had to get into this weekend. I was like, what the fuck?
Did you reply to that guy?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, actually, I'll leave it there. I don't want to out anyone else.
Yeah, but he was like super sold on it. So I was kind of surprised on how like little he had to go off of and how he was sold on that.
Okay, and one thing I want to say about Wildcard, so that I don't sound like I'm trying to cause any drama or anything. Not that he's gonna fucking listen, but I usually agree with him on like 90% of the shit he says. You know, like I'm watching it going, oh wow, this guy's passionate, and then I watch it and going, oh, fair enough, that's true. You know, so he's making some points. So I'll keep watching him.
I'm going to have to edit that out, man. You can't say that kind of stuff.
Is it too wholesome?
No, I'm just kidding. You're just like worried. You worry that some kind of...
No, I'm the balanced.
That some
I'm
internet the balanced, mob's going to come after you.
I'm the balanced interpreter to your wild conspiracy theories, you know?
You're always worried I'm going to like say something crazy or something like that.
Yeah, a little bit.
And you think that we have some kind of army of listeners that are
just a deeply paranoid man, okay? No one's fucking listening.
Yeah, okay. So that is like...
That was a good laugh, though. Andrew. I'm happy you told me that story.
Yeah, because I knew you were worried. Like, oh, what happens?
The way you were telling me, I got a story to tell you.
What happens if the internet... Deep. What happens if the internet comes for deep. Us?
This is going to go right to the city hall. It's going to bust it wide open.
It's going to be on just some fucking CNN random or Fox News.
YouTube guy.
There's your face.
Yeah. Have you seen this man? Okay.
So, yeah. Well, I'm excited for... If you're not watching Super Rugby, guys, I would suggest taking a look this year.
Yeah, it was a big Gallagher Prem hype, man, right when we started recording these, and now I'm kind of coming towards being a Super Rugby hype man now.
Super Rugby,
yeah, best league.
And they have the best like ads for Super Rugby.
Oh, they do?
Oh, man. Some of them are just great. Like, there's this one where they're all jumping into the water with rugby balls, and it's like the camera's underwater and
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
like,
okay.
Are you ready? And it's like,
yeah. I always thought Southern Hemisphere rugby did that a lot better than like the Northern Hemisphere. Like, you know, you watch American sports and they do these commercials where they're all like being cool and doing like gang signs, and then New Zealand players do that. And it's like, it kind of works for them a bit. Like, they make it work. It doesn't feel cheesy. But if you had like a British or an Irish person doing that, it'd be like, oh, it'd be the cringiest shit, wouldn't it?
It's
like,
rugby night in England.
Welcome to URC. And then someone's like throwing gang signs. Like, oh, that's cringy. Yeah. Like, oh, Peter Omani doing like peace signs at the camera. Like, oh, stop.
Be cool, kids.
Yeah, don't take crack. Yeah. Message from Peter Omani.
All right, so that was that's
nice
what
segue
I wanted to,
into
I wanted
Six
to
Nations,
say.
Eh?
Yeah, well, let's get into Six Nations.
Six Nations. Good weekend of rugby, though.
It was a great weekend of rugby.
We're both sat here heartbroken, but let's start at the start, shall we?
Start at the start.
Scotland, Ireland. Oh, Scotland, Italy. Sorry.
Scotland, Italy.
Oh, dear.
What was your thoughts on this game?
My first thought is, yay, Italy. Because I've been pissing on them. I've been saying they're not even worth watching. I've been saying some real mean things about them because they just don't seem to have improved in 20 years of rugby.
Yeah.
And now, you know, a draw and a win, that's a big deal. It's a really big deal. Against a Scotland team who are not living up to their potential and a Scotland team who are letting me down. Italy deserved that win, I thought.
Was I right? Scotland just don't care about the Six Nations after they beat England.
Well, if you'd have predicted this win, then yeah, you'd have been right, but
I
you didn't.
Have.
Yeah,
should've.
Yeah, you were so close.
Missed
to.
It.
Yeah, you missed it. But I think maybe an emotional hangover from Scotland. I don't know, but
you
no,
know
Italy was good. I don't want to take anything away from him.
Yeah, because you know how we would say like after Italy do good in a game is like, did Italy do good or is Italy getting better?
That's always
or
the
is the other team? Sucks.
Yeah,
and I think for this one, you can honestly say Italy are getting better.
You can, and I think the draw
this is proof.
It is proof, and except that hammering against Ireland, every other game they could have beaten France. They
yes.
could have beaten France,
yeah.
Right? Paolo Garbisi's one kick away from beating France. They gave England a good game, right? So yeah, I think Italy, if they can keep this consistent now, and they can get like a draw and a win, maybe a couple wins next year, all of a sudden. And it's amazing for the competition, right? All of a sudden, we don't have a break weekend. We've just got the dud team to beat, right? And they haven't won at home in a long time. Imagine Italy make Rome a fortress. Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
So
you won't need South Africa to come in and save the Six Nations.
Don't start that shit. But no, I'm really happy for Italy. There was a couple of moments in there which were very like Italian, like a couple of missed kicks, which I thought, oh, they've lost.
Garbisi needs to like take his tea, bring it to a priest, get it exercised,
yeah,
get
yeah,
some
yeah.
holy water because like, his ball fell off again too.
That was mad in the France game where it fell off, like the roof was closed. Like yeah. what is this haunted ass tea you've got?
You must like, have like an awkward way of placing it.
No, it's haunted.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah, that actually, yeah,
it's
sorry.
Possessed. Yeah,
there was some like.
What did you think though?
What was that call? Where the refs had that big powwow,
mm-hmm.
and like the linesman was like trying to
he
like
was trying hard to get a penalty try for Scotland, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, I was like, what?
It was a deliberate knock on by Italy, and it was just given as a penalty. And the ref was like, "This looks like this." The TMO was like, "This looks," and the linesman jogged over and he was like, "I think you need to give two red cards to Italy and maybe one or two penalties to try to escape." That's why it fell. Like I'm exaggerating.
That was like, so weird.
It was
like he was just trying.
He was
and
adamant
trying.
That Italy were like really cynical. I watched it again. It was a tie. It was the right call. It was a penalty. It didn't feel like a yellow. It didn't feel super
no,
deliberate.
It didn't. Yeah. And it was a weird moment. I was like, man, just back off.
Yeah.
Go back to your fucking line. Take yeah. your flag. Get back to your fucking, like, get out of here.
Big rugby dipping yeah. their fucking toes in again. It's like Italy aren't supposed to win
tell,
this game.
Tell the ref of the game what you saw.
Yeah.
Give him your point
yeah.
of view. And then get back to your fucking line.
Yeah.
Don't try to make a case like you're fucking Matlock. Like you fucking...
Yeah.
Actually, I have a file that I created. Can you just take a look at it? What's his name? Was it Angus Gardner that was the ref that one?
I think so.
Yeah.
He did good, though.
Yeah, he did good.
Yeah, there was a few...
There was some things, like, Italy did get away with a couple things.
They did. There was a few blatant knock-ons.
Actually, both games on Saturday, there were some reffing that, like, both teams, like, got away with some shit.
They did.
Yeah.
I felt that, yeah. Maybe we could talk about that a bit more. I don't want to get into... No, of course I want to get into ref bashing. Let's go. No, I'm joking. I watched a documentary. I'm reformed. Whistleblowers was revolutionary. I'm a changed man.
Let's blast these motherfucking
we
refs.
We just want consistency.
Also, like, Scotland made it really hard on themselves. Like, they took 12 penalties.
They did? I didn't know that.
Do you know how many penalties Italy took in this game?
Four?
Five.
Hmm.
That's a huge difference.
It is. So you could say that Italy's discipline is far from perfect still.
No, it's getting better.
Oh, wait. Other way around, I'm thinking. Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, Scotland gave away 12 penalties.
Yeah.
Right.
They conceded 12.
Wow.
Yeah. And Italy only conceded five.
So that's, Italy's discipline is changing.
Yeah. And you can see how their discipline is changing and the outcome is changing too.
This is an Italian renaissance.
Because usually they just kind of fall apart and they're getting penalties all over the place. And as soon as you bring the ball into 22...
They're just
Italy
scrambling
fuck
around.
Up somewhere and
they're
you get
offside,
a kick.
Coming into the side because they're just desperate to stop a try, aren't they?
They're notorious for putting themselves under pressure with their bad decision making, but their decision making is getting better and better and better.
Well, that's scary. And let's mention it while we're on this. Italy under 20s pumped Scotland under 20s. Like it was not just a win; they fucking ruined them. So there's a juggernaut coming from Rome.
Italy's under 20s have been pretty decent for a while.
They've been
now.
Good for a while.
Yeah, it's starting. I think it's starting to slowly show.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see Italy play in the summer.
And they have comparable resources to Scotland as well. So if they develop wisely, put the money in the right places, do the right things, this could be the start of something special. Are we doing a squidge?
Are we gaslighting people?
Yeah, we're doing a squidge.
Into believing in Scotland and Italy.
Yeah, I'm just really worried they're going to beat us next week.
I just feel like they have the tools to win the World Cup.
Nice.
Yeah, no.
Nice.
We can't squidge. We can't. We'll never be as good as he is. He'll make me believe in anything.
He made outlandish statements like that. You've got to keep it realistic.
He should be like an investment banker or a salesperson because like he would just be a billionaire.
Yeah.
He would sell me any pen
ever.
No, I believe I need this snow in the winter. I should buy all these pounds of snow.
Yeah. Yeah. I do need hurricane insurance. You're right.
Italy's scrum is still an issue, though. Their set pieces, their line out and scrum.
Yeah.
It still needs a lot of work.
They're smart, though, aren't they? I think they know that and they get the ball wide.
I think they're improving in the things that they can improve. Like, you can't have, like your players can only be so physical. They can only be so good at passing and catching and stuff. But there's things like, hey, our discipline, here's an area that we can improve. It doesn't matter.
We don't need natural talent to improve that.
You don't need genetics. You don't need natural talent.
Yeah.
This is something that we can get better at.
And they have.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Japan in the 2015 World Cup, where they just knew they weren't going to compete in certain physical areas of the game. So they didn't. They just played to their strengths and they beat South Africa, the Brighton Miracle, right? Maybe
earlier. Or in 2019 when they beat Ireland and Scotland.
Right. Yeah.
So,
guess who's back in the helm of Japan?
I could say that's this is to smart coaching.
Could be. And actually, let's remember that they just got a new coach.
Yeah. Argentinian guy. What's his fucking name?
I don't know.
God damn it. I wish I would have remembered that.
That's okay. But the last guy, I remember that Six Nations documentary on Netflix.
Kieran Crowley.
Didn't give a great impression, to be honest.
No, he looked super messy.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he looked like... just a second here.
Yeah. Hello?
Boom. All right. Back into it. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Italy. Very good. Amazing.
Yeah. Coaching. Good.
Better. Yeah. Scotland. What's going on, man? What are you doing?
They just don't care anymore.
Sad, eh?
They won their Six Nations game. Are they even going to be able to beat Ireland?
It's shite being Scottish.
That's pretty deep.
It's from a movie. I'm not just being a cunt. It's from Trainspotting.
Is it?
Yeah.
There was a lot of like, Finn Russell must have been pissed.
He looked angry.
Yeah.
He looked pissed off. Yeah.
Yeah. And now there's all these rumors of like backroom unrest with Gregor Townsend and stuff. Yeah. All these rumors and shit.
It does feel like, I know this has been said a lot, but it does feel like this is the best generation of Scottish talent that we've ever seen, which is strong words, and it just they're not converting it into results, which they obviously can, because when they play well they look really good. They're missing some weight in their pack, they're missing some depth, but you think maybe Townsend has to go now. he's had a really good chance, and I feel like Scotland have the tools to do something.
They just can't be consistent.
And I know, and it does. I've no hope for them against Ireland now. Ireland are wounded. They're ready for to really show you the quality. Like, I can't see it a win.
I want to say the same thing too, but after this weekend,
we're so bad at predicting, aren't we?
Yeah,
you know, like garbage at it. So yeah, who knows?
Some teams just step up for other teams.
Yeah, it's like rock paper scissors a bit, isn't it? Like, I don't think any other team in the Six Nations could have beaten Ireland except England after the France loss.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway.
Yep. So, do you want to talk about...
Do you want me to give you my very unbiased opinions about Ireland, England before you start crying again?
Yes, because I'm going to start bitching.
Fair enough. I thought England were impressive. Things really clicked their attack finally. And actually, they were a bit wasteful. They were in the Ireland 22 several times, and I thought they were dominant and they should have come away with more points. Mm-hmm. So if they can figure out being a bit more clinical... they're going to do well against France, which is a game I'm really excited for now. England-France in the final weekend. So I thought England were like... And you know what? I'm really happy for him because I saw that interview with Ben Earl and he's sort of saying like, who's laughing now? Who's shit now? And like, I felt like it wasn't a dig at Ireland. It was a dig around against all the negativity that has been put against them. It was fair criticism, I thought. But I think the England players have felt like they're under a lot of scrutiny, and that was a good win for them. And I was really happy to see that they were like, yeah, fuck you. Look, this is what we can do when things work for us. And I felt like when Marcus Smith came on, he was the spark at times.
Yeah. When he came on the field.
Yeah. Just things changed, didn't they?
Their attack completely came
alive. And
he
wasn't even playing 10, right? Imagine him at 10. So, and I think, you know, George Ford is good.
They did take George Ford off at one point.
They did?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah. And then when he moved into 10, that's when it really started picking up too.
Yeah. So yeah, I think Marcus Smith, Faye Wabosso, who I'm still wounded about, but I'll say he had a great game.
He did have a good game.
So
there was a lot of, like, it was one of those games where every player was just doing their job.
Yeah, but that's the thing. England was still wasteful. So there's still potential there. And I think, for Borthwick, it shuts people up as well, doesn't it? Like, you know, we can win. We can win against, the best team in the world, right? To what I would say about Ireland is I still see the deep quality they have, right? And I think they were a little unlucky. They're not used to injuries, right? They've had it really lucky with injuries. And all of a sudden, Calvin Nash comes off. Their backline was unsettled for the rest of the game because you had Jameson Gibson-Park on the wing all of a sudden.
Yeah, because Kevin Nash went off.
Yeah.
And then...
Conor Murray came on at 9.
Kieran Frawley went on. When Nash went off.
Right.
Yeah. Kieran Frawley went on.
Yeah.
And then he got injured.
Right.
So they had to move Gibson Park to the wing.
Yeah.
And then Murray went to 9.
Yeah. And the rigidity of Ireland is still a little bit of their weakness, right? That rigidity under Schmidt where they would implode a bit when they had injuries or the plan changed. We saw a little bit of that where their lack of depth. It's not the depth is there, but these players don't play enough starting time to kind of know what to do when things get shaken up a bit. I thought Ireland were, some of the forwards didn't have the best game, like Marnie didn't have the best game. Tyke Byrne was a bit anonymous, but Van der Flier had some good turnovers. So it wasn't like they were playing crap. Like they're still playing good. And it was a close game, right?
Well, I'm going to be way more positive than you are.
About Ireland?
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, that's what I'm trying to say, though. I'm saying, like, as much as it wasn't, like, I didn't think they played badly.
I felt like in the whole game, I never felt that, like, right up until, like, the last, like, that Murray, when he handed the ball back to England, I always thought we were going to win this game.
Really? Yeah, fair enough.
And I really liked seeing how fucked up Ireland got in this game and how they were still managing to be leading on the
because no one's tested them like that since the World Cup.
No, no one. They haven't been like put in a dark place and had to crawl out of it.
Yeah,
and they were doing that.
They were
like they took a card. They had injuries. They were putting players all over the place.
Yeah,
and they were still managing to be on top of this game.
Mm.
Be it England were playing better than them, and they were being outplayed. Like Ireland are also being outplayed.
Yeah,
and they were still in the lead.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until Murray handed that ball back to England that I thought we were going to, Ireland were going to lose this game.
It was a real back and forth game, wasn't it?
Yeah. And a lot of players, you're right too, a lot of players this game had an off night.
Yeah.
Like Furlong, I felt, looked a little like tired out there.
Mm. Porter was not scrummaging so well as he was giving away some penalties.
The Ireland scrum and their line out is if they're going to go to South Africa,
yeah,
and have any, be any sort of threat, that has to be fixed.
Perfect.
It has to be perfect.
Yeah,
because now it's going to be, it had to be pretty good at the World Cup, but now that you're going into the den, like you're going to South Africa,
yeah,
you're going to their house. You're going to play in
there. You're going to play at 10,000 meters above sea level.
Yeah.
With lions in the crowd.
You're going to play in outer space or whatever they play at.
Yeah.
But like
barbecue smoke in the air. Like,
yeah. Not good enough. 100% not good enough. You're not going to get results. Now.
Yeah. That's good though from an island point of view because you're holding yourself to a really high standard though, right?
Now, the last two times they played, they beat South Africa and South Africa was beating them at the line out and at the scrum.
Yeah.
And Ireland still managed to like scrape away a win.
Yeah.
The last two times. But those games were close. Yeah. One was in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just talking about the last two games.
One was in France.
And one was in France, yeah. Right? Not at home, right? Not at home for South Africa either, right? So, yeah, going there, it has to be better. It has to be better. And, their scrum has to be better. Their lineout has been a question mark even in the World Cup. So it's not even, I think it might be a little bit of an exaggeration because I think they only lost like two lineouts.
Yeah. But like you said though, that's the benefit of the recent successes they had is they're holding themselves to a really high standard, which you should be, which is good. So as much as it's a complaint, it doesn't, you know, if I was as a Welsh fan, I can only dream of losing two lineouts a game.
Yeah.
Actually saying that our lineout was actually good today, but you know, historically, like I would love to hold our team to that standard and we're not.
If I'm just lucky that Borthwick is just so in love with George Ford, that's what I'm lucky about.
Yeah.
Because like if he would have started, Marcus Smith,
yeah,
like that game could have been a lot more.
Well, England came energy, out of the blocks firing, didn't they?
They did, but they don't have that like attacking.
They're not clinical enough yet.
Yeah, they don't have that attacking flair that like Marcus Smith brings onto the field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and. They were really smart because they kept bringing the ball out wide and they were having success out wide.
Just go around.
Yeah.
Then they did.
Like, look, their wings are kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
They know Lowe is questionable on defense on the wing in the past. So they really targeted his side too.
And if you can get outside him or around him, he's not as fast as most wingers, is he? For all his strength, he's not the fastest. Yeah.
And they really exposed a lot of weaknesses. They really did a clinic on this game against Ireland. They did their homework.
Yeah, they did. A strategic victory, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a very strategic victory. And then if you just look at the stats, like England were just on top of everything.
Yeah.
They were hungry and just kind of shell-shocked Ireland. But I really liked how Ireland, were put to the sword and were still in it. No matter what they were putting them through, they were still in the game until the final minutes.
They were.
Yeah. Now, that final minute really pissed me off.
Okay, here we go.
Because that game was... One.
Yeah.
In my eyes, that game was one. You have, you had a minute.
Island possession, a minute in your 22, but possession
in your 22
with a good team.
With a good team. And Connor Murray kicks it away. Right? Now, kicking it away wasn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
But he I don't know if he fucked up on the kick or anything, but he kicked it like 10 meters, 10 feet in front of him.
That was the thing, wasn't
it? Like, why didn't you just get that thing down the field?
The distance of it was mind-boggling. I said that to someone. I said, like, the kick itself wasn't a terrible idea because you don't want to make a mistake in your 22.
No.
But you need to put 50 meters on that kick if you're going to kick it, right?
Yeah.
And then get your defense ready because you could soak up that pressure then, right?
Yeah. As soon as they gave it away like that, I was just like, oh. Yeah. Why would you now you have to work so much harder.
Yeah. You put the whole team under immense pressure immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just the pressure that they brought on themselves. Like this game was sold. Like I was just this game was done and dusted. And I just watched it like Ireland is like walk up, you know what? Here, can you have this. Like they did.
You think they gave it away, do you?
I 100% think they gave it away. They had a minute left possession.
Yeah.
And
they could have gone through three or four phases and just burned a minute.
Now, if they kicked it away, like if they booted it down the field, England wouldn't have kicked it back.
No, they couldn't.
Because there was like a minute left.
No, it'd have been in the red by then, wouldn't it?
So they would have to work their way down.
Yeah.
Ireland got a really good defense. The odds, I would say the odds were in Ireland's favor there.
Yeah, you'd say 70% maybe more. Yeah.
England still could have won, but you know, I'd had faith in that.
It's a statistical game management thing at that point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... Or if they even would have like just pick and goed it for a minute and then kicked it out.
And that's the thing.
I thought Faith they would do that too.
That's the thing. I look really good at
that. That's their thing.
That's their thing. Not losing possession.
Yeah, it's not losing possession. Yeah. Holding the ball and phase.
Up the jumper rugby, like old school style.
And they could have done that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just... choked. I was fucking choked about that.
I bet. Yeah, you were going through some emotions, weren't you?
But at the same time, you should never have been in that position in the first place.
Yeah.
So, if they didn't want to be in that position, they should have played better throughout the game.
I think about this a lot, actually. Isn't it wild how a single tiny decision like that can change a huge narrative, right? We could be sat here going, Ireland were tested, England were good, but ultimately they're still the best team in the world. They're still quality. And even under duress, they can win a game with looking comfortable, right?
Yeah.
In control. And all of a sudden, through a tiny decision, this entire narrative is changing. And all of a sudden, you've got all these like trolls on the internet you arrogant bastards. And all these South Africans going like, who's the best team in the world now? And it just changes things from such a tiny thing. Like, Ireland is still quality, right? So I wouldn't want an Irish person to be like...
It really reminded me of when England played South Africa in that semifinal.
Where they took them super close. And that was a kick to finish.
And then they kind of like fucked up on that scrum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all they had to do was make sure they didn't fuck up that scrum.
The South Africans have weaponized the scrum to the nth degree now. They will scrum you anywhere on the field, confident they're going to milk a penalty. Isn't that nuts?
They have made it a lethal weapon.
They have.
And what nation hates scrums?
Mm.
I wonder what nation really hates the scrum, like just wants to get rid of it and obliterize it to death. I wonder who wants that.
Implying the rugby championship is going to be the best one ever with the most drama?
Like, it's kind of like they've made this scrum like a lethal weapon.
Yeah.
And then the Kiwis like fucking, especially the pundits, I don't know about the fans, but like hate the scrum.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it sounds like when we listen to them. They're always fucking knocking it and shit. They want to neuter the scrum as much as possible.
They do. And it's sad because they still produce excellent props.
Yeah.
Which is that guy Wildcard was saying, right? Like, he was talking about Ethan de Groot.
So it's really a
world-class prop.
It's a conspiracy to hurt the Springboks. That's what it really is.
So it is a plan.
The reason why they hate the scrum so much is because they hate the box. They want the fucking box to not have their number one weapon.
The big bull of the Springboks.
If you're
going to
beat us, you got to beat us with the ball in hand and score tries, mate. Not with the scrum. What is that?
They don't want the South Africans calling a scrum in their own 22, like they're getting their massive dicks out and going like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, I hate watching games where like things are on the line, especially when I'm cheering for the team, and then they fucking hand a game away.
It's horrible.
It's nothing worse than that.
Yeah.
Nothing worse for a fan.
I didn't feel like that. I know it was a stupid decision, but I felt like that game was in the balance enough for me to be nervous either way, you know? It was a close game, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I wasn't. I watched Ireland so much. Like, the things that they had to do to close the game out are the things that they're really good at. That's the worst part about it. It's like the things that you're known, the things that people hate about you is the shit that you were supposed to do to close this game out.
Yeah.
But you're holding on to the ball, not letting anyone get the ball.
Yeah.
You know?
Just sealing off that breakdown with concrete. Like,
Sealing it off with concrete.
Yeah.
Like all the shit that people hate Ireland about was the things that they had to do to win that game.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, you know what? We'll just
do a 10-meter kick, try and contest it in our own half. Like,
what are you trying to score a try? Like, like, you know, like, what the fuck are you trying to do? Like, And
Conor Murray's looking at the scoreboard and he's like, we've not scored less than 25 points in a year. We better score more another try. Like,
114 caps he has. And to make that decision was just, in my eyes, appalling.
This might be a weekend for senior players making some errors, which I'll talk about with the Wales game. But yeah.
Like, and, yeah, also another player that came on that I thought really hurt Ireland too was Ian Henderson.
Yeah, I was saying that to you yesterday, wasn't I? He came on, gave away a couple of turnovers.
Yeah.
And it was just like, we know he's a good player, but the quality of lock in Ireland, I didn't think it dropped off that quickly.
Like, he sorted out the lineup a little bit.
Yeah.
But, man, the penalties he took really...
They were at crucial points in the game.
Crucial points in the game.
Yeah.
And yeah, he looked a little slow to me on the field.
Well, he hasn't had any minutes for Ireland, right? Like, it's, and that's another thing I'd be annoyed about as an Ireland fan. It's like, you know, you've got
I think he was injured for a while.
He was injured for a while, but the point I'm going to make is like, that seems to be another thing they're not great at, is giving other players starting minutes. So they rely so heavily on their starting 15 that when you bring guys on who have come back from injury or haven't had enough minutes, that drop in quality is like, oh wow, that was jarring, you know?
Yeah, but their like consistency with their players is like something that like a lot of people are bitching about from other unions.
What do you mean?
Not being consistent with their selection.
Mm-hmm.
Like Borthwick's been under the sword a lot for not being consistent with his selections, like kind of juggling shit around too much.
Yeah.
And like they need to be consistent. Look at Ireland, blah, blah, blah. And it works. Like Ireland are good because these players know how to play with each other. And, yeah. And Farrell has been really key with his keeping things like coherent and stuff. And
I think that's the game I'm talking about is the Italy game where Ireland came out and were like, we're going to show you how fucking ruthless we can be. And that felt to me like a game where you give three or four players a start who aren't used to starting.
He did. He switched some things up in that game.
He did, but I thought he should have done it more because they were always going to win that game based on the result, you know? So I think...
Still don't want to risk a double grand slam.
They could have even done that a bit against Wales. Like, I think they knew they'd win that game and they were like, no, we're going to be ruthless, you know?
I wouldn't do that against Wales. I wouldn't... Right, that would be insulting. And
if you're
going to
do
it,
this is the year, though. Like, this is the ultimate rebuild year of any team ever, you know?
Yeah, because Wales are now the Italy 2.0.
Yeah, we are. It hurts.
Yeah, but, man, England, they just had to choose this weekend.
Did you show up this week?
Yeah, this week out of all weeks, this is the one they had to show up.
Yeah, when I've got the painters in, you motherfuckers. Like,
I didn't check on that Cunningham South injury.
Bad, actually.
He looked fucked up. I don't know how fucked up he is, but he's good.
Mm.
That would be a loss.
Yeah, some of those carries where he's like sprinting into contact, like it's terrifying, isn't it? Yeah.
Ben Earl.
Yeah.
That played his heart out.
He's a monster, isn't he?
He was a fucking nuisance on the field. Even Joe Marler.
Mm.
Like Joe Marler, like I said earlier, he got that yellow card.
You think he milked out of Omani?
Yeah, because Omani like came in hard to that breakdown.
Which he's been red carded before.
And he made contact with Marler. And Marler like slipped. He just like moved out of the way and slipped past him. And he just went diving into that ruck.
Yeah.
Right? And he just like fell onto that ruck and they got a yellow card. And I thought when I rewatched, I was like, fuck, that was smart from Marler. I'm like, Marler does some like his dark arts skills are... He's a
fucking,
high level dark arts
wizard.
He's
a fucking level 50 necromancer, isn't
he? Yeah,
he is.
Yeah, he does the dark arts like nobody else. Him and Dan Cole.
Yeah.
Like their experience... is
their shithousery off the ball is like he's always up to something.
Yeah,
like you could be the other side of the field and he's like casting a spell on you, you know, whispering sweet nothings. Like
his shithousery is incredible,
next level, isn't it?
It's priceless.
It's his personality. You listen to he is a shithouse.
Yeah,
that's his personality. He's a chaos demon. You know, like
yeah, he is a chaos demon.
You know,
yeah. Because he's always fucking with someone anywhere in the field, right? And you need that.
Casting spells, calling people's mothers whores, calling people gypsies, all kinds of horrible shit.
A necromancer.
Level 50.
Level 50 dark arts necromancer with Joe Marler. Yeah, so they're really lucky to have him still around.
Yeah.
He'll be missed when he's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he will.
Him and Dan Coles. Dan Coles, what a comeback.
Danny Kerr. Joe Marler.
Yeah.
You know, there's some resurgent careers going on.
Elliot Daly tried to use his power boot. The one thing that he's probably still on the team for, and he missed it.
He's a level 50 rogue archer, and he couldn't nail his shot.
No, he couldn't nail his shot. So I felt bad for that for him. But yeah, everyone, Feu Aboso.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
He's fucking good. He's going to be, he's kind of solidified himself.
As a starting
wing. I think he's the winger that they always wanted. What's that guy's name? Fokanasinga.
Fokanasinga, yeah.
Yeah. To be. Mm. That's what they wanted out of him.
I think Fokanasinga was just too direct. Waboso has a bit more like step and guile, you might say.
And this is his first year of pro rugby.
Please don't. Please don't.
Wow.
Please don't.
Like it England, hurts. England, like, man, Feu Aboso just proves how good England produce players.
Why?
Like for England to produce Feu Aboso?
Why?
Like to grow him out of a pot? Like it just shows how good England is at developing young youth players to have Feu Aboso just come out of their system.
Fuck off. It's horrible. I was telling you, the Exeter starting lineup the other day, there were five Welsh guys in the Exeter starting lineup. I'm just like,
man, England are just great at developing young talent.
Fucking bottom feeders. Get away from our talent. You know, it's horrible.
Oh my god,
he's so good.
Yeah, he's so good. That must sting every time you see him grab a ball.
Rio Dyer is good.
Rio Dyer is really good.
So
let's talk about that game. Let's talk about the game that we just finished watching.
We just finished watching this game, and we were watching that game, and I think I was a little unrealistic. Not without reason, though, because France haven't had the best tournament. They kind of did in England. They were like, you chose today to show up? Like, fuck you. You chose today of all days to be good again? France are back, baby.
France.
I'm going to talk about France first, okay?
Okay, you talk about France first.
That young scrum half, Legarek, class. And no one's filling DuPont's shoes, but fair play, he is class.
That no look pass.
That was either going to be the end of his career or the highlights reel of highlights reels forever. And it's the latter, you know? That out the back, no, it didn't even look, didn't care who was there. And Ramos just runs onto it and catches it. Like, and then the French, like, pack, we always talk about, like, oh, this is a big pack. They had 70 kilograms on our scrum. There's another human of scrum weight in there. And you just look at them as well. Like, it looked like humans fighting dwarves in that scrum.
It did.
They were different. They were mutants, man. Like, so, and to be fair, I thought we dealt with that reasonably well for about 50 minutes. Like, I was surprised we pulled those tries out of the bag. And I was happy to see some attacking spirit. Dio was class. Thomas Williams was good. And I thought our forwards were standing up to the pressure. But yeah, France just... it just sort of came together for them again. Their quality and their depth and their strength and their power just kind of, it was too much for us, right? And so I'm still, like I said, Gatland's still got cash in the bank, but the cracks are showing now. We need a win. We really need a win. And Winnett didn't have the best game. Like, Winnett, I've had, you know, unlimited praise for, and then suddenly he didn't have the best game.
There was a lot of rookie decision-making from
Costello Wales. Costello made some stupid mistakes, like, you know, basic stuff.
And experience really came into this game.
It did.
And... yeah, you could tell who had the experience and who...
it felt like men against boys sometimes. And so, you know, again, I'm proud that we were in that game for a reasonable amount of time, but it's just like, we can't keep saying we're proud of these performances forever. We do need to win. And now there's a real danger of us losing to Italy next week. Yeah, and I thought when Gareth Davis came on, he was a bit crap. And I thought Josh Adams is really pushing his luck. So even our senior players were making some basic errors. So it's... we need those guys to be...
How'd you think of Evan Lloyd?
Like, he was on for what, 10 minutes, held up the scrum reasonably well, and he's like barely played for Cardiff. Like, fucking hell, that's the state we're in, though, isn't it?
When they took off Antonio Ini and they brought that George's Henry guy on.
Yeah, and he's even bigger.
He's like this fucking monster. Oh, no. It looks like they're wearing like a tarp, like his jersey.
Yeah, the jersey.
It's like, they had to cover their chest,
this flowing bit of fabric they've had to sew on. Like,
yeah, it's like they took a French flag and they cut holes in it and put it on him, like this giant flag. Because like,
he's just such a big man.
Like, I was looking at him and he's like standing up.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck?
What,
like,
is that?
Yeah,
what,
he's like monster. 6'4", 6'5",
yeah.
300 pounds.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a fucking unit.
Do you remember Lee Halfpenny back in the day when he would just catapult himself into the midriff of like absolute units? And I was like, even Lee Halfpenny would disappear into that man when he tackled him, you know? Like,
yeah, he would just swallow him up whole. Wow, how fortunate do you have to be to have that kind of like talent there?
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe hopefully I want France to be consistently good. I was sad when we went back to the days of which French team's going to show up. So I don't want it to be like this bipolar up and down again. I want, if they're back, stay back. You've got the players.
100%.
You know.
They really they really played a lot better today.
They did.
They had some new guys on the field.
Yeah.
So the guys that they started, I thought did
and you know, Ramos at 10, it's like no big deal. Like, we can play with Ramos at 10. He's class.
The guy that was playing fullback, I thought did really good.
He did. What's he called?
Leo yeah. Bar. I can't say the French name, but...
yeah. And the wild greased up Penno is sliding off people.
Like he's greasy, eh?
Fucking swamp eel again. Like,
yeah, he is greasy.
Yeah, he is. So, yeah, France have got... and it's annoying.
They had that Louis Bell or... I can't say these names.
Yeah.
I need AI to like pronounce them for me.
Cyril Bailly. Cyril Bailly.
Yeah.
No, but he's class.
Yeah, they had that new wingers too come in. And yeah, they all played good.
They did.
Yeah. So lucky for France. France are lucky to have that kind of, to be able to bring that stuff in.
Must be nice. Yeah, I'm jealous. But it's just, you know, I'm annoyed now because I look back at the first game of the Six Nations. France just flopped against Ireland. And I was like, you're better than that.
Yeah.
Why do you have to beat us up when you could be duking out with the big boys?
They had
boys,
to show
you know?
Up. That's what England did yesterday for Ireland.
Yeah, I know. It's annoying, isn't it?
Decided to show up.
Fucking drew Italy and then you fucking just like molest us in our own capital city. Like,
yeah, you guys were assaulted.
Yeah.
Like, the cops should have been called.
Yeah.
And
that scoreline was pretty just nasty. Just bullying the end,
these Welsh, these poor Welsh children is getting bullied. Yeah,
ragdolled around. You know, we were in that game, though, and I'm really happy to see we have some attack. Like, three tries is pretty good against that.
You did kind of call it. You said they were going to start, it was going to get messier and messier.
Yeah.
As the game got on, and that's what happened.
Because even when we were scoring, I thought we need to be winning by a bigger margin if we're going to win this game. And we just couldn't stay in the... It was a heavyweight fight, and we just went in it.
I feel bad for David Jenkins.
Why?
It's like his first year as captain, right?
It is, yeah.
And it's going to be one of the worst years in like Welsh history.
Since the 90s.
Since the 90s.
Which isn't that long ago.
So really. It's his first year, and he's a great player.
He's such a nice... He's got the qualities to be a good captain as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, he's really heart on his sleeve, honest, compassionate. Yeah,
he plays hard.
He does.
And I feel bad. Like, I don't want this to, like, fuck up his confidence.
I can still see the hunger in his eyes, and he's still young. I think the thing is as well, like, Jack Morgan was amazing, and he will be back. And I do wonder whether, when Jack Morgan's back, does Dav Jenkins is not captain anymore?
I think he'd be fine with that.
I think he'd be fine with that as well. Like, he's still a good player, and he's always going to love playing for Wales. You can see that. He's one of those Welshmen who's passionate about pulling on the jersey, and we need those guys badly, you know?
He's got to go to Exeter, and he goes back to Exeter and, like, look at all those other under 20 kids. Those Welsh
half the Welsh under 20s is there.
What the fuck are you guys doing here? Get your ass is back in that fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back over the bridge.
How did he... How is he not part of the eligibility rules? Because he just never got a contract?
Never got offered a contract by a region, yeah. That's
really?
How it works. Yeah. Yeah, if you get offered a contract by a region and you haven't got 25 caps, I think that's how it works. You are captured by the rule. The dumbest rule.
They have to get rid of that rule.
Yeah, I think the writing's on the wall, isn't it? We just have to admit we're going to leak talent everywhere.
I think it'll be better. I think it'll pay dividends.
It will, because it means there's still going to be...
Other teams spend millions developing your top talent.
But then are we going to have situations like Faye Webosa where they go, well, actually, I'm just going to play for this other team, the country.
I bet you he would have played for Wales if he had the option.
Mm, good point, actually. Good point.
If he had the option.
If that rule wasn't there, would he have gone, well, no, it's no big deal for me to play for Wales. Yeah, good point. Oh, what could have been?
You would have had one of the best up-and-coming wingers in the world.
And that's annoying, man. Look at the wingers we've got. Like, oh, we could have Webosa, we could have Luis Rees-Zammit, could have Rio Dyer. I love Mason Greedy.
I wonder if Zammit and Faye Webosa were in the Wales squad, would Rio have got on the field?
Good question. Would Josh Adams have got on the field? Because he's not having
Josh
a good tournament.
Adams got on the field.
Yeah, he's not having a good tournament, is he?
Right? Because, like, Gatlin's kind of forced to play with what he's got.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's some questions there. But yeah, they got to get rid of that fucking rule.
I think now we have to. Now we see...
If the clubs can't afford to spend money on the players...
Which they can't.
Which they can't. They can't do it.
No.
Why hurt your national team then?
No, I agree. Maybe I would have argued some points for it before, but by now it's like, no,
they can't even pay for them now. So they're losing these players regardless.
Mm.
You're losing these players. Anyways, you're losing them.
You want to see who's going as well next year. Like, Rhys Carey's leaving Cardiff. Like, they're still leaving. Good players are still leaving Wales.
Yeah, because they don't have the money to pay these guys. No. So they're still going to leave.
So let Saracens pay their wages and we'll pick them, you know?
Yeah. So you're still, like, everyone's like, oh, they'll all leave. They're already all leaving.
That's right. It's not stopping anybody.
And now you lost out on one of the best wingers in the world.
And Exeter's a prime example of this. Joe Hawkins, you know, the centre at Exeter, class player, can't play for Wales. Faye Webosa now playing for England. Right? These guys, both of them would have played the Six Nations.
Like, you should put together a Wales 15 players that are ineligible to play.
Mm.
And you'd have probably a fucking rocking team.
A good team.
They'd be a good team.
And then Patchell comes home on a chariot of gold.
Yeah.
Offloads. He's like, look what I learned in New Zealand, guys. I learned how to
killing
it. This is called an offload.
Yeah.
What is it? It's amazing.
It's like inventing the wheel.
Yeah. Comes back with fire from New Zealand. Who taught you that? You can fall and throw the ball?
Yeah. When you get tackled, you could pass it.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Shut up, Reese.
Get out of here.
With this. He's
Gatlin,
a witch.
Gatlin pulls him into a room by himself. Who taught you that?
Yeah. Yeah. You keep your fucking mouth shut. These are good boys. You leave them alone, Reese.
They're not ready for this offloading.
It's not ready. It's going to hurt them.
Yeah. You see these hands?
You take your fancy modern ways.
This is from offloading. Yeah, they fucking...
These are good, honest boys, Reese. Don't corrupt their minds.
So do you have anything else to say about the good old...
I'm just sad now. We desperately need a win.
What a game of fucking I had no idea.
This is the clash of the mini titans next week now, isn't it? Wales, Italy.
Let's go over these games. Let's go over next week's games. Super Saturday.
Are you
which
ready
I think
for some terrible predictions?
Every weekend should be a Super Saturday anyways in the Six Nations. Yeah, let's go over these games. So the first game next weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, every game's a fire game.
It is. I'm excited.
Wales, Italy.
Start off.
Like, I am so happy to see Italy on an
upward trajectory.
In a game. Like, an upcoming game with Italy and being excited about it.
That's true.
Wales, like, this couldn't have been, this could not have
tears.
Been the best. This could not have been a better, like, last game for these two teams. Wales, Italy.
Yeah.
Like, how perfect did they set this extension?
This is like a UFC card, isn't it? This is like the warm-up fight, and it's like, but these two, this is a warm-up fight you want to watch. Like.
Do you keep seeing I keep seeing posts on shit about people, like, saying that Netflix is writing the narrative for the Six Nations. And when you see these last games and how they
it feels like it, doesn't it? It's a fairy tale weekend. Yeah.
So Wales, Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah. At Millennium.
Bin clash.
Yeah.
Yeah. In
this
Cardiff.
Is a have to win for Wales.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a have to.
Yeah. And you know Italy.
If they can win two games in a Six Nations.
That Italian passione is coming. Yeah.
I almost want Italy to win it. Because they've just done more of this Six Nations.
They feel like they deserve it a bit
they've
more.
They've crawled
don't they?
Out of the grave more. And I think they just kind of deserve this.
I know. I can't disagree with you.
I want Wales to get a win, but I just, man, there's two narratives here that I really want to be successful. I want Wales to get their win.
Mm.
But it would have been against Italy. And I want Italy to get a win because it'd be two wins in a Six Nations.
Which
and a draw.
Two and a half wins.
Two and a half wins. Nuts. They only lost twice in the Six Nations.
That's mental.
That would be like...
That is mental.
That's got to be the most... I don't know when the last
That would be
time.
The most successful year they've ever had in the Six Nations.
You
easily,
think so?
Comfortably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Two wins?
If they get a win, it's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Two and a half wins? Wow.
Because, besides this year, they've only had like 15 or 13 wins in the Six Nations
and
total.
Hundreds of games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think they've ever won two games in a Six Nations.
Who do you think is going to win this game?
I think Wales are going to win this game.
You think Wales
and
are going to win this game?
I say that with a clear head because we're at home, which is a big deal, right? We've got the attacking shape and we know how to defend. Like, we were defending well against France. We now know we can attack. And Italy, as good as they are, they're not France, right? They're not Ireland. They do not have depth and they do not have the physicality of those teams. If we play well, we can beat Italy. So yeah, I'm saying Wales.
Well, I'm going to go for...
But I predicted everything wrong. Sorry,
because
go ahead.
I want to... I'm going to go with the narrative I want here. Mm. So I think Italy are going to win this by 5.
Okay. Last minute try sort of thing.
Yeah. Mm. And
yeah.
I want them to win this game.
Yeah.
Because I want them to have a successful Six Nations for the first time ever. And the thing about Wales is that Wales are not going to suck forever.
No, I'm not worried about that.
This is not a forever thing.
No, it's not. No, I'm not worried about
that. So, and like what the union is doing and stuff, and what I've like read up on, like what I'm learning about how the union's like changing things and stuff like that.
There's
like,
tentative steps in the right direction.
Yeah, things are going, looks like they're going in the right direction.
Yeah,
they
slowly.
Got that new league starting up too.
Yeah.
So they're starting to put their money in the right
which is not
baskets.
Inconsiderable, is it? Like they do have resources.
Yes.
It's just, it's taken them 20 years to figure out how to use it. Hopefully this is...
Well, they're not building a brand new bar in Bethesda. So like
they already did that.
Yeah, so like this is now they're putting their money in the right spots and stuff. So that's why, you know what, Wales, you guys could take a loss on this one this weekend.
Yeah.
Cuz you guys are going to be you guys got the Grand Slams, you got semifinals.
That trophy cabinet still looks pretty good.
Yeah, the trophy cabinet looks good for you. Italy don't have fucking nothing.
No.
So I kind of want them to win this. I'm going to say Italy.
Okay.
Fair by 5.
I'm not upset by that. Like I respect that. I'm a bit sick of being the baddies as well. It feels like the World Cup again where it's like everyone wants Fiji to win so bad because they were on a similar trajectory. It's like Fiji are finally getting consistent and good. And we're like, shut up, Fiji.
The darlings.
Shut up, sit back down, eat. Like we're like those little weedy bullies, you know? It's like we can only beat up the very small people and then the big boy comes in and we're like, oh sorry, sir. Like,
So
we're like mid-tier bullies. I hate being the bad guys.
So you're saying Wales by 20?
No, it's not going to be hammering. It'll be close. I reckon Wales by 7 points.
And Italy by 5 for me.
Okay. I'm a bit worried about my predicting though. Jesus. Which sets us up
for the next game
excellently for Ireland.
Scotland. In Ireland.
I know. You go first. I've got some thoughts.
Ireland... By 15 points.
Mm, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. Do you want me too? Ireland by 15 points. Here's what I think about that. It's shite being Scottish, right? They just have not given me any reason to believe they can do it, right? They've done what they've done for the last 5 years, which is beat England. And in between that, they've done nothing. And they've got the team to do it. Ireland know how to beat Scotland. Look at the record, right? I want Scotland to win this game because I want Scotland to improve. But it's just like, give me some evidence, you know? Give me some evidence.
The thing is, Ireland has put a fear in teams. Mm. So now when they show up, they know they have to bring their A game.
Yep.
So everyone's kind of stepping up and above to play them.
But Scotland feel like the team who don't know how to do that. You know, they don't know how to be England. Clinical. Unless it's England, right? Yeah. That's the annoying thing. England are a big team. They're physical, right? Scotland can clearly beat big physical teams. What is happening to them in these kind of games against anyone else?
Because I told you, man. I told you. They don't care.
Yeah, I know that's funny to say. They do care. I don't know. I feel like I'm projecting a bit because I feel like the things I say about Wales are the things I'm projecting onto Scotland as well.
So we're both saying Ireland by 15.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. All right.
France.
Yeah.
England.
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh.
Jouer.
This is probably the hardest one to call.
I love this now.
Because France looked better.
Yeah.
England looked better. They don't look perfect. Both teams don't look perfect.
No, they don't.
Right?
Where is it?
It's in France.
Okay.
What
do you think?
So,
Tough, eh? That's the hardest call.
I'm going to say this is going to be a passion win.
Mm.
I'm going to say France by like another 5 points.
Yeah.
Close game.
I think...
No, I'm going to go France by 10. I think they're going to... I think it looks like England played the final. England played the final already. Yeah, I'm going to say France by 10. I think they're going to fucking actually... they got some beefy boys.
Yeah.
And they're going to be up for England. These two teams hate each other.
They do.
And because they think they're the guys,
They both are the biggest, richest, resourciest unions in the Six Nations.
And they're both going to swing their big, rich dicks at each other. Yeah. And I think France's dick is a little bigger.
It is a bit bigger.
Yeah. We saw it today.
We saw it soft and it was pretty big.
Yeah. Even with soft.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. You know, some people are growers and not showers.
Yeah, no,
they're showers
they
and growers.
They look like they hurt either way.
Yeah. So I'm going to say France by 10 points.
Mm. I think I agree. I'm going to tell you what I think. Yeah, France played a bit of a changed side against Wales, right? And that was the thing which I was confident about going into the game. But those changes turned out to be good changes.
Yeah, the team looked more cohesive.
It did. Legarreta at 9 was great. Ramos at 10. You wouldn't have known he was a fullback. He was class, right?
Yeah.
So I think France, if they stick with that squad... they'll win. And I think another thing is, which is making me hesitate, is which England team is picked. Because if you pick Marcus Smith at 10, I'm so excited for that game. I still think France win it, but it's really close, open, exciting. I think if Borthwick picks Ford at 10, which I think he's more likely to do just because he's very kind of set in his ways, he likes a bit more traditional style rugby, France win more comfortably. So either way, I'm predicting France. I think France by... I'm going to say France by 15. What did you say? Did you say 15? I'm going to say 15. I think France will win this.
Yeah, I think they're coming in to...
Yeah, because they shouldn't be as bad as they've been this tournament. And now I've seen, like, they can be good.
Yeah.
So, France.
And they're going to want to win this.
And I don't think, as much as England were good against Ireland, I haven't seen enough of England doing that kind of thing yet.
And they're away from home.
Yeah, exactly. That's the big thing, yeah.
So, home field advantage for the French.
Yeah. Although French people hate their team, you know.
They love
them
too.
They love them. Oh, they can love them. But they can eat, you know, one knock on... Half the fans leave the stadium.
The guillotines come out.
Yeah.
They love their guillotines over there in
France.
That's
right, man. That's right.
So, yeah, and that's it. Do you want to talk about any, before it closes up, any kind of conspiracies?
You told me something juicy. I did tell you something. I heard a rumor.
You heard a rumor.
And I want a very big caveat that this is just a rumor.
Okay.
I heard that Andy Farrell is leaving after he's done the Lions, as in he's leaving coaching Ireland.
Now, was there any sort of like...
a reason why or a
reason why yeah, there motivation
was, yeah I think it was okay. First thing I'd say, if that's true and that does happen, I'm a bit surprised, because I feel like if I was Andy Farrell, I feel like I'd have unfinished business and I've got the tools to win a World Cup. So I think like that's a bit weird. So when I heard that rumor, I was like, oh really, that's weird. But then I also think that
And this is someone telling you this in person.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone who I think knows their stuff as well.
Okay.
Reasonably connected.
Okay. Yeah, that's as far as we'll go with this.
Yeah, totally.
You don't want to get you in trouble.
No.
Yeah.
Don't want the feds coming knocking on my door.
The rugby feds.
But yeah, I think maybe one I also think is Ireland's coaching setup is like their team now.
Yeah.
There's depth.
Yeah.
You know, like you got Paul O'Connell has been doing a decent job. You got Simon Easterby doing a decent job. They've got this really good synergy with Leinster's coaching setup. You could interchange people. Jack Nienaber, maybe stepping up to be Ireland head coach. What do you think?
Oh my God.
There it is. There it is. It was all part of the plan.
For them to do a purpose fold
yeah.
in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Against the Springboks. Yeah,
it's a spring. Plans within plans, mate. Plans within plans.
If this rumor is true.
Yeah.
If this rumor is true, which I doubt it is.
Yeah.
That would be like.
Be nuts, eh?
It would be treacherous. It would be the biggest. This would be
like
worse
Game
than
Game of Thrones. Rugby,
this is Game
it?
Of Thrones shit. This would be yeah. worse than the Eddie Jones.
You think
shit.
So?
Oh, 100%.
No, because I think if that's true, the island
there's
is part
only
of the
one place. There's only one place. If Farrell were to leave Ireland, there's only one place he would go.
I don't think that's what's happening. I think he's going to play coach a club.
Why?
Because that's what I heard.
To coach a club?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did this guy say a club?
Yeah.
What club?
I didn't say.
He didn't say?
No.
He didn't tell you?
No, he didn't.
He wouldn't tell you?
He just didn't. I didn't ask.
What a waste opportunity. I would have grilled this guy. Where?
I already felt like I was seeing some, you know, something I shouldn't have seen. So I was like, look away. I'm going to learn what an offload is if I keep looking.
Because that would be, yeah, it would be, like, if he goes to a club, it would be not as bad. But if you went to England, because I could see England being like, yeah, we'll pay you out of your contract. We'll fucking, yeah, we'll spend $100 million.
I see what
over.
You're saying, but I think it's rare, actually, that a national team within the quote-unquote home nations, Ireland and the UK teams, they don't switch around. Like, how many times has a person been a head coach of one of those countries and gone to another? Gatland might be the exception because he did briefly coach Ireland. He might be the only person who's done that. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that happens a lot. I just think it's not, it's just kind
also,
of understood.
Also, 2 years out from World Cup, it'd be, or it'd be a year and a half.
That seems wild. Doesn't, I
that
mean, like
would
I
be
said,
crippling.
This could very well not be true at all, but I thought it was worth saying because, you know, drama, llama.
And the guy's connections.
Yes, that's what made
like,
me go,
you know,
okay,
he knows these certain people.
That's right.
And he's in these certain circles.
That's right.
So that's why it was worth like...
That's why it's worth being like, this isn't just some idiot saying something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
That's what kind of concerns me a little bit. I'm confident like this guy is not telling the truth.
Fair enough.
But
yeah.
Fuck, that would be wild.
It just seems stupid, doesn't it, to put that much work in and not have another crack at the World Cup when you've got all the faith in the world to do so.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that don't add up.
No, true.
And especially how close it'd be from outside of a World Cup.
Yeah.
It would be crippling.
It would be. You want to disrupt that stability when you've already got a really yeah. settled
I can see him going
squad.
After the next World Cup, sure.
Oh, yeah.
He's still young.
Totally.
But, yeah.
I do. I think if and when he does go, of course he'll go eventually, I don't think he would go to England, though. I think there's sort of like an unspoken rule that you don't do that.
I think he would. I think he can go to England, and I don't think anyone would blame him. After he finishes contract, he finishes his duty to like 8 years in Ireland, and then England snap him up,
drop a big old million on him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Look what they do. They always hire. That's how they do their hiring. They hire like other successful coaches.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't
they've
you?
Been shopping through the Springbok website there for a while.
Got himself.
Just go online.
Hey, Felix Jones was a good buy.
Yeah,
you know, they got a warranty
and
on him.
Their
like
scrum coach too. They took the fucking box scrum coach.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And so yeah, they just go on springbox.com and click these two coaches into the cart.
Get a 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah.
All
right.
Okay. That's good. Episode.
We got into conspiracies, wild card conspiracies.
I enjoyed that. Like, it felt structured. Last week was chaotic, wasn't it?
Yeah, because you were high on drugs.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm a bit hungover today, but so, I'm not like off my nut on painkillers.
No, that was a good one. All right. If you guys have any questions for us, you can email us at thefriendsofrugbypod @gmail.com.
Nice.
Nice. All right.
I want to hear from a Kiwi.
You want one?
No, I want a Kiwi. I want a Kiwi to talk about Super Rugby to us. If you're a Kiwi, send us an email. Tell us your thoughts about Super Rugby.
I got Kiwis.
I know. So I'm specifically talking about your mate who has previous. Please email me things. I want to know. I want to talk to you.
If you want a Kiwi to talk rugby, we can have that happen.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Have a good night, friends.
Bye-bye.